Open your Bibles to the book of Isaiah once again, chapter 55.
My life. You made it back. God must be working already. You come back after last night. Let's stand and read Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6. I don't know how we can read the chapter of Isaiah and 55 here without reading verse 6, so I include it. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And let's pray. God in heaven, we are thankful for another opportunity to come and open your word. And God, without you, we can do nothing. And Lord, we're asking for a touch of your hand. We're asking for your mercy and for your grace. God, you know that we're weak, that we're unable, but our confidence is in you. And we pray that you bless each and every one of us here tonight. I pray if there be some soul here that does not know you in a personal way, that has never been saved, that they might come to know you as their Savior tonight. I pray that there be a Christian here tonight that is backslidden or weary, that they would find comfort and they would find awakening and revival in you. I ask you to have mercy upon me. Help me to speak according to your will and according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Time flies by. There was a time when they used to call me the zipper. I don't think they call me that anymore. So I have my glasses on so that I can read the Bible, but I can't see your faces. You look strange without a nose. I mean, that's just really strange. And I cannot see the clock. I see something back there, and I suppose it's got a time. And I thought it'd be more important that I get the text right than the clock. So if you think it's time to go, you might just raise your hand and say, I surrender, yeah? So I'll see your hand waving. My text is not out of verse 6 and 7, but I just thought, how in the world can we read this chapter without reading those two verses? And after reading those two verses, shouldn't we consider them? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. That tells me there might be a time when you're going to seek the Lord and he won't be found. There might be a time when you're going to call out to God and he's going to say, okay, I've called your number a number of times, you didn't answer, and okay, time's up. Now that's a consideration, but that's not my message tonight. Look down in verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, say the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know our problem tonight? Our thoughts get in the way of the will of God. God knows how we ought to live a whole lot better than we do. He is the Creator, after all. He knows how the engines work. He knows the mechanics and how we should live. He knows what's best for us. Are you convinced of that tonight? Are you convinced tonight that God Almighty knows more than we do? Then if you're convinced, then what we need to do is persuade ourselves that that's true.
All right.
If we can persuade ourselves that that's true, then we can see a change in our lives. The problem we have is we doubt God.
All right. Amen. That's right. Yep.
Even believers, as believers, we doubt God.
Yes.
We acknowledge it. We have this acknowledgement, we say, yeah, that's the Word of God. We believe the Word of God. It's kind of like we say, well, we believe in God. Yeah, we know there's a God, but do we believe God?
Right.
Look in First John. You have your Bibles tonight?
Amen.
Do you know the tremendous blessing to have the Word of God written in your hand? Did you hear what I said? We have the Word of God in our language, in our hands. You know, if God spoke to heaven, spoke from heaven, that would be a tremendous thing, wouldn't it?
Amen.
And He did speak from heaven throughout history, spoke from heaven. But you know, the next day, if God spoke to you yesterday from heaven, the next day you'd begin to doubt, was that really God? Or was that a thunder? Or I'm not really sure. Yeah? But if you have it written, you can go back and say, yeah, that's exactly what He said. I just threw that in there for free.
Amen.
There was no cost, no extra cost.
Amen.
1 John in chapter 4. I said chapter 4, I meant chapter 5. Verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself, and he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record, that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Alright, my text tonight and the message tonight from the Word of God is this. God does not lie.
Amen.
And God's thoughts are not our thoughts.
That's right.
And God's ways are not our ways. And so there is a conflict.
Yes.
There is a conflict between our ways and our thoughts and our ideas and our words with the Word of God. And if we want revival, if we want an awakening in our lives, we have to conform our thoughts, our ways, our words to God's words. And if we ever get to there, we'll see a change, a real change in our lives. But mark it down. Because God has drawn a line in the sand. There's no compromise with God. You're either on God's side or you're against Him. You're either in Christ or you're not in Christ. And He says here, if we receive the witness of men, what's greater than that? The witness of God. Now, I think some of you are police officers. Some of you work in a courthouse. Some of you have experience. You know that people go to jail because of witnesses. You get two or three witnesses and say that you did something, you're going to jail. Yeah, and even if you didn't do it sometimes. Yeah. If they stay up and they get their witness, their record together and they say, yeah, he's the one, there are innocent people in jail. Not too many, but there are.
Yes.
Why? Because the witness of men has a great force. Do you know that we cannot function in a society without the witness of men?
That's right.
You take the word of man every day of your life.
Yes, you do.
I think this internet is really amazing. You type on your computer, you just type a few numbers, and they send you a package. Have you ever ordered a book from one of these places online, and the next day you have a book? How do they know you're going to pay for it? And how do I know that they're going to send it if I give them my credit card number? You know what that is? That's trusting the word of man.
That's right.
You hire somebody to do something, what are you doing? You're trusting that he'll get it done.
Yes.
Now, if we can trust men, can't we trust God?
That's right.
Look what it says. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not God hath made him a liar.
That's right.
Do you see the problem we have? If we do not believe God,
right,
then we make him a liar. I was sitting in a meeting in Torun. There's a believer, she's a doctor that runs a clinic for alcoholics that have problems with alcohol and drugs. Tremendous problem in Poland with alcohol and drugs, just like here in San Antonio, Texas. Right. Yeah. So she invited me to come, and I read this verse. I was shocked at the reaction. I'm not making God a liar if I don't believe Him. What? So if I tell you that I'm going to do something for you and you tell me I don't believe you, you're not making me a liar? All right. Let's find out. Here's what we say. Nobody really loves me. Don't we say that? Don't we complain? We got some problems, we got some burdens. Nobody loves me. We mentioned this verse last night. No man cares for my soul. That's what we say. That's what man says. Here's what God says. He says, I love you. He says in the Word of God, you can look it up in John 3:16. Many of you have this memorized. Can you say it tonight? John 3:16. For God so loved the world. You saying nobody loves you. Now, maybe your daddy doesn't love you. I grew up in a home, I never heard that word love until the day my dad got saved. The first time in my life, when my father knew and experienced the love of God, it was only then that I heard him say to me, I love you. All my life. You got a daddy that tells you you love you, you better thank God for that daddy.
Amen.
But maybe you don't have a daddy. I know a Father in heaven that loves you.
Amen.
You know, when my dad first wrote me, we had tremendous problems with my father. He wasn't too excited about me getting saved. My father was not too excited about religious people. And it was just too much for him that his son became, in his words, religious. Oh, that's all I need is a religious son. Yeah. 27 years, Janice and I prayed for my father. And one day I got a letter, an email from him. He says, what is Ezekiel talking about in chapter 1? What is all this stuff? I'm fucking, what is going on? This ain't my dad. I don't understand. And I got a phone call from my aunt, and my aunt said, your dad got saved. No, I don't believe that. I finally figured out what was going on in Acts when all their brothers said, that Saul of Tarsus, no, he didn't get saved. I finally understood that portion of Scripture. I said, there's no way my dad got saved. We went back to visit him in Michigan. I sat in his home for a week, literally in shock. You can ask my wife and ask my kids. I didn't know how to react. I did not believe that he got saved until he came up to me and he said, son, I want to tell you something I found in the Scriptures. The most important thing that you'll ever find in the Scriptures. This is my dad. Never heard the word love out of his mouth. Not one time in all my life. He said, the most important thing in the Scriptures is love. And I just want to let you know that I love you. I was convinced then. I was convinced then because there was the love of God. Now, maybe you've had a daddy like that. Maybe your mama is like that. Maybe you've never really experienced real love. Maybe you've got love and lust all confused. Had a young man come and got a young lady pregnant and we dealt with him on the issue of sex outside of marriage and he sat there saying, Yeah, but that's a love child. I said, no, that's not a love child. That's a lust child. If you really loved that young lady, you would not have used her body in that way. But that's another message. The Bible says that God loves us. We say nobody loves us. Isn't that right? Who's right? Now, you look at your circumstances and you look around you and you think, nobody cares for my soul.
But you forgot about God, and you forgot about His Word. God loves us. Who are you going to believe? We had a chance to visit Niagara Falls, and if you've never had that opportunity, you ought to try to go there and visit it. Amazing. Simply amazing. You can stand on the Canadian side pretty close to the water going over. I mean, that water just flowing over. I don't know how many gallons per minute, but just flowing over and just roaring. And you feel like you're right there. I wake up at night sometimes with nightmares thinking I'm falling into that water. I still remember that. Yeah? Seriously. Yeah? In the old days, 50, 60 years ago, they used to have these guys that would string these cables across the Niagara, and they would do that balancing act. You know, they would walk across the cable, and they'd have people standing on the sidelines and just watching this. I'm thinking, oh, this is crazy. Well, they had one guy going on, and he got a wheelbarrow, and he'd push his wheelbarrow across that tightrope all the way over, and he'd push it, and then crowds would just, oh, isn't that great? He'd fill that wheelbarrow up with these big old boulders. And he'd push that thing all across across that thing, and he'd walk all the way back. And the people would just go, wow, wow, wow. Then he'd ask them a question. How many believe I can put a man in this wheelbarrow and push him across? Yeah, we want to see that. Yeah, let's see that one. We believe. He said, all right, who's going to come down and get in the wheelbarrow? Do you understand the difference in belief here? You see, we believe that somebody else can get in that wheelbarrow, but we don't believe that we can get in the wheelbarrow. We believe that he can push somebody else across your neighbor. You know who you're thinking about? You know, your neighbor. That guy. He can push that guy across there, but he can't push me. So, who believes? The only one that believes is the one that gets in the wheelbarrow. If you don't get in the wheelbarrow, no matter how much you say you believe, you don't believe. And this is what we're talking about, the Word of God. We say, I mean, we're Christians after all, aren't we? And if you're a Christian, you're supposed to believe the Bible, right? We say we believe the Bible. We say we believe the Scriptures. And yet many times when it comes to actually applying it to our lives and actually getting into the wheelbarrow and actually trusting our lives to the Word of God, then we've got some real problems, and then we find out what kind of faith we have. You know what I know about God? God brings us to that point of getting in the wheelbarrow because God wants to find out, do we have faith or not? Do we trust Him or not? Do we re-believe Him or are we going to call Him a liar? If God says you can do it, then you can bank on it. You can trust Him. All right, let me give you another one. We say, I'm all alone. I feel alone. Maybe my wife has left me. Maybe my husband has left me. Maybe my parents have abandoned me. Lots of children in Poland. Children are abandoned to orphanages. The first time I went to an orphanage in Poland, I was shocked. I understand an orphanage. Your parents have died, and so we have no place to go. So the state has set up an orphanage, or maybe a charity has set up an orphanage to take care of children that have no relatives. Is that how you understand an orphanage? That's how I understood what an orphanage is. But in Poland, the parents are still alive. But they're under the influence of drugs or alcohol. And you know what? That's sufficient for me to say you ought not to take drugs and you ought not to take alcohol. You see, none of them parents started out, you know what? My ambition in life is to get hooked on drugs. That's my ambition, so that I can abandon my children and put them in orphanage. That's what I want to do. Give me another Pabst. Give me another beer. That's what I want to become, a drunkard. I want to get so hooked on alcohol that my children are going to be abandoned and I'm going to be without a job and I'm going to be out here on the streets with no home and nowhere to go. That's what nobody starts out that way.
That's right.
Nobody starts out. They all start out with that first cup. Don't touch it. You're playing with fire. I wonder how many of them boys down there in that jail started out with that first cup. I feel all alone. That's what we say.
Nobody's with me. Here's what God says. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Look at it. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. He says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Maybe you're a Christian here tonight and you got that feeling within you. And you're thinking, you know, God has left me. God has written on my house, Ichabod. Maybe I fall into some type of sin and now God is far away. He's abandoned me. No, that's your feelings.
That's right.
That's your emotions. God Almighty has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Amen.
Who are you going to believe tonight? We say, I'm afraid. I'm afraid to trust God. Aren't we? Be honest.
Amen.
Aren't we afraid to trust God?
Yeah.
Aren't we afraid of failing?
Amen.
That's aren't we?
Yeah.
You find somebody that's not afraid of failing and you found yourself a man. Well, I teach English in Poland as well, as a way of supporting our ministry. And I have an opportunity of classroom, and I like to find out, I try to teach moral issues. I'm not allowed specifically to preach the gospel, but if the gospel should come up and they ask me a question, well, of course I'm more than happy to give them the good news. And I happen to steer the subjects that sort of tend to lead to that way, and so I deal with moral issues. And so we come up with, how do you define the word trust? And how do you define the word believe? And so what I like to do is I bring a blindfold and I put the blindfold on one of my students. And I ask them, do you trust me? Yeah? Okay, I'm going to find out. I'm going to describe some things in a room and you're going to tell me whether you believe me or not. And I'll describe something on the wall and I'll say, do you believe me? And they'll say either yes or no, and then I'll ask the class, is that true? If that's true, can you believe me? Yeah? And when they stand up, when they have to stand up in the middle of class, there is a chair behind them. They saw the chair when they stood up. They know it's there. And I ask them, there's a chair behind you. Do you believe me? Yeah. I believe you. And while that chair is there, I just move that chair a little bit. And I make enough noise that they can hear that I'm moving it, yeah? And I said, all right, now you told me, you said that you believe there's a chair behind me. Do you believe the chair is still there? And they will say something like, I don't know. I said, that's not the proper answer. You get to say yes or no. Do you believe me or do you not believe me? And they'll say, well, no. And I'll say, well, there is a chair behind you. And I'm not a liar. There's a chair behind you. And they'll say, okay, I believe you. And then I say, sit down. And they'll start moving their hands towards the chair. I said, no. This is not a feely-weely exercise. This is an exercise to find out if you understand the word trust. I'm telling you that there's a chair behind you. And you can have all the confidence in the world to sit down in that chair. You can trust me. Do you trust me? Yes! Sit down! Why? They're afraid.
That's right,
man. And they don't believe me. Some of my students have lots of confidence in me and they just go ahead and sit down. Unbelievable. All men are liars, right? They just go ahead and sit down. We say we're afraid. I'm afraid. God says, I've not given unto you the spirit of fear.
Amen. Right.
Look at it. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I don't know your hearts, but I know by experience that we as creatures, as humans, we're afraid. I don't know, you know, you think about doing the will of God, and we get scared, don't we? I'm going to go where and preach what? When? How? You want me to go to Poland and preach the gospel? Don't you get scared? You want me to sell everything I have and go to some other country and learn some other language and preach the gospel to them? Really? You want me to talk to my boss about the Lord Jesus Christ? You want... Yeah? Am I hitting home tonight? You want me to talk to him about the gospel? My neighbor? You want me to go over and talk to him? You want me to stand up in front of a crowd of people and speak? I mean, what kind of fears do you have tonight? We say we're afraid. God says, I haven't given you a spirit of fear. Amen. We say, it's impossible. It can't be done. God says, what does He say? All things are possible.
That's right.
If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. That's what God says. Look in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 24. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it. Now remember, these are the disciples. These are the ones that have believed on him. The disciples heard it. They were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved?
Amen.
How can this be? It doesn't seem possible to us. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.
Amen.
And brethren, we don't have time tonight to go through the Bible and see what the Scriptures say about where men stood up and said, there's no way. There's no way. I mean, we can start way back in Genesis, and we move on to Exodus, and we can find example after example where men stood up and said, there's no way. How about the time they're standing before the Red Sea? They got the Egyptian army behind them on their tail. They're about ready to be wiped out. And what are they saying? There's no way. But with God, all things are possible.
That's right.
And we can go time after time after time again in the Scriptures where God came in and did the impossible.
That's right.
Jesus told two sisters, I am the resurrection. And they said, yeah, but he's been in the grave 4 days. There's no way he's coming out. You want us to do what? You want us to roll away the stone. Now, why would you want to do that? He's been in there 4 days. What are they saying? There's no way.
That's right.
Now, be honest. Haven't you said that?
Amen.
No, I know. We're theologically sound. We don't ever verbalize these things. We don't vocalize these things. We don't ever say to God, there's no way. But we're thinking it.
Yeah. All right.
We don't want to stand up and say, no, God, there's no way. We don't do that. I mean, we've got enough learning in us that we're not going to do that. But that's what we're thinking.
Yeah.
We're thinking there's no way God can do that. But He says all things are possible to him that believeth.
Amen. That's right.
You don't believe that? Just read your Bible. Some impossible things were done in the Scriptures. You know what the problem is? We believe the witness of men, but we don't believe the witness of God. That is the decision we have to make. Is the witness of men greater than the witness of God? Or is the witness of God greater than the witness of men? I've made my decision. The witness of God is greater.
Amen.
Now, there's a lot of times I got to say, God, I believe, but help me in my unbelief.
Yes, right.
Have mercy upon me, Lord. I just can't see it. And He's saying to me, I don't want you to see it. I want you to believe it. You and I, we want to see something. We want to feel something. You know, that's why people have images.
That's right.
You know why people put images on their wall or carry an image around their neck or have an image in their church? Because they want to see something.
That's right.
You know why people confess to a priest? They want to see and hear a priest. They don't want that invisible priest that God gave us, the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't want that invisible mediator. They want somebody they can feel and they can see and they can touch and they can hear. They want something visible. And God says, I want you to believe.
That's right.
And if you see it, that's not believing. And so God brings us to that place, are you ready to get in the wheelbarrow? You said that you believe me. You said that it's possible. With God, all things are possible, right? That's what we say. Every one of us say that, don't we? Is there anybody here tonight that would say, no, there's no way? I suspect you came here tonight because you have a belief in the Scriptures. You believe the Scriptures are the Word of God. And so we acknowledge that in our head. We say, yeah, that's true. But we don't want to get in the wheelbarrow. We don't want to trust God. We say it's impossible, and God says, all things are possible to him that believeth. We say we're not able to do it. There's no way you can send 10 missionary families out of this church. I've got the calculator and I did the calculation and there's no way. Yeah? Yeah? I've run the numbers. It doesn't work. Did you know that if we up the tithe from 10% to 20%, it still won't work? I'm going to run the numbers again. It's not working. There's no way. You want to send another missionary? Goodbye. And so God let them all go. So that we can understand the first point. All things are possible with God. We say, God says, do it. And we say, I'm not able. But He says, you are able. And He says, God is able. He says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. God is able when you're not able. We say, I don't understand it. We say, I can't figure it out. We say, it doesn't make sense. How's this going to work out? I don't know. God says, I will direct your paths. Look at it. Proverbs in chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. You remember our text this evening. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And He says it here again. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. I would just come from a mission conference down in Corpus Christi, Texas. Some of the brothers have asked me over the years, how do you know that God has called you to Poland? That's an interesting question. How do I know that God has called me to Poland? He did not call me on the telephone and said, Brent, I need you over in Poland. Can you run over? Didn't happen.
That's right.
I've read the Bible in three different languages from the beginning to the end. I don't find the word Poland even in the Bible. And I don't find Brent and I don't find Riggs anywhere in the Bible.
Yeah.
I have found Michael, Brent Michael. Yeah, but I don't think he was talking to me. Yeah. But you know what I found in the Bible? Sinner.
That's
right. Sinner. That's me. Who did Christ die for? Sinners. That means He died for me.
Amen.
Hey, any sinners in this room?
Amen.
We all got the same name.
Amen.
We all came from the same Father. His name was Adam, and He's our grandfather. We're all from the same Father.
That's right.
We're all sinners. And Christ died for who? He died for sinners, so He died for you. Now, I know the religious crowd wants us to think that God died for good people. Yeah? For the holy ones. If you get holy enough, if you get good enough, if you're faithful enough, if you're strong enough, if you're the best, well, then you can be saved. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that Christ died for sinners.
Amen.
You know what else I find in the Bible? Believers. Christians.
Right.
Disciples. Hey, that's me.
Amen.
I'm a believer.
Amen.
I'm a Christian. I'm a disciple. You know what He said to those guys? He said, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I got me a little Google map out and I looked, and guess what? Poland's in the world.
Yeah, that's right.
I said, well, there I'm going. But sometimes we say, we're not able. Or God isn't able. But God is able.
Amen.
Sometimes we say, I just can't figure it out. I don't understand everything about God. You got it all figured out? How God can speak and all of a sudden all those fires out there? You got that one figured out? I haven't figured that one out yet. You got you a big old microscope and you look down and see way down there and you can count the numbers in DNA? You got that one figured out? I don't even like science books. They got too big of words in them. And most of them are in Latin. I can't figure out what they're saying. I don't understand what they're saying. But you know what I know? I know that the steps of a good man are directed by the Lord.
Amen.
And I know that He said, lean on Me, trust Me, and I will shall direct thy path.
Amen.
Some of you tonight have sinned against God, and you know that God is not pleased with sin.
Amen. That's right.
Your own conscience condemns you. Your own heart condemns you. You say, I've sinned. And maybe you're a believer. Maybe you've sinned time and time again. Maybe you've got some besetting sin that just afflicts you. You don't want to do it, and you find yourself doing it anyway. Any of you here tonight like that?
Amen.
You know, it's good to be honest with yourself.
Amen.
I told you last night, you know, I would have thought 37 years ago, by the time I got as old as Lindell, that I'd be perfect. I thought for sure by, you know, after 37 years, I'm going to be, you know, the Holy One on earth. But I found I still got that old man with me. The same temptations that I had 37 years ago are tempting me now. The same tempter, the same accuser of the brethren, the same devil, the same world, the same afflictions. Yeah. There has been many a time I thought, Lord, I've sinned. There's no way You can forgive me now. You ever been there? There's no way, because I can't forgive myself.
Yeah.
And if I was you, I wouldn't forgive me.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
You ever been there?
Yeah. Amen.
You know what He says? I forgive you.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
Look at it. 1 John 1:9.
Amen.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you believe the testimony of men, or do you believe the testimony of God?
Amen.
Do you believe the testimony of men is greater than the testimony of God, or do you believe the testimony of God is greater than the testimony of men?
Amen.
Your conscience, your heart, your own feelings, your own emotions say there's no way you can be forgiven.
That's right.
Maybe you've had an abortion. And your conscience is wearing you down and says, there's no way. Maybe you've divorced yourself from your wife and you regret doing that. You can't forgive yourself. Maybe you've neglected your children and somehow they hurt themselves or they've been harmed and you cannot forgive yourself. I don't know what it is particular sin that you've committed. But there's not a sin that you can possibly commit that the blood of Jesus Christ can't forgive.
Amen.
Now, maybe religion won't forgive you. Maybe your parents won't forgive you. Maybe your wife won't forgive you. Maybe your neighbor won't forgive you. Maybe your pastor won't forgive you. Maybe your priest won't forgive you. I don't know about that, but I know somebody that's promised to forgive if you'll confess. And He's not a liar. Some of you tonight are thinking, I just can't go on. It's just too hard in my marriage. These kids are just driving me crazy. I just can't go on. I'm working two jobs. I'm doing as much as I can. There's no way that I can go on. I'm just going to give up. You know what? We're reading about suicides all the time. I'm just going to swallow these pills and end it all. I just can't go on. Maybe your friends or neighbors said, well, you ought not to go on. We don't want to see you around here anyway. God says, my grace is sufficient.
Amen.
Yeah, but you just don't know the afflictions. Probably right. I don't know, but God knows.
Amen.
And He said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. My grace is sufficient for thee. Maybe you've called out, maybe you've praised, oh God, take this affliction away from me. God, have mercy. And somehow it doesn't sound like He's heard. You don't feel it. Your emotions are not there. God says in a still, small voice through the Scripture, He says, my grace is sufficient.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Who are you going to believe?
Amen.
Yeah, God can do it. Are you going to get in the wheelbarrow?
All right. Amen.
Yeah, God can do it. Are you going to get in the wheelbarrow? You say, I just can't do it. I can't do it. God says you can do all things through Christ. Now, mark it down. He didn't say you can do all things.
That's right.
If you put a period there, then you misunderstood the Scriptures. Without Christ, you can't do anything.
Amen.
You think you got the control on your life? What if God says, I'll take that spirit back now? You won't be breathing anymore. What if God says, no, you're not going any farther? Then you're not going any farther. But you know what He says? You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us.
Amen.
We say, I can't do it. God says you can through Christ.
Amen. That's right.
He did not say you can through religion. Not your religion, not my religion.
Right.
If you came here tonight looking for a new religion, you came to the wrong place.
Yeah.
There's only one hope for you. There's only one hope for me. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Religion won't do it. Only Christ will do it.
That's right.
I can't do it, you say. He says you can do all things through Christ. How many of you are tonight under financial burden? Are you American? You're probably under financial burden. Yeah. I mean, they pass out credit cards to anybody and everybody, you know? Can't hardly walk in a mall or go to a store and they want to give you a credit card. I saw an advertisement just today. I want to give you a credit card, only $495 a year. And I'm thinking, who's going to pay for a credit card for $495? Somebody's going to do it. Somebody's going to do it. You get down to the end of the month and you say, I just can't manage. There's no way. I just don't know what to do. You ever been a missionary on a foreign field and try to calculate and figure out how you're going to survive this month? Come on over. You can hear me singing this. There's just no way. There's no way. I don't know how I'm going to make it. There's no way. Janice, this is it. This is it. You know what He says? But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and His glory, in glory by Christ Jesus. You know what He says? Trust me. Seek me first. And all these things shall be added unto you. Some of you tonight are saying, well, I hear what you're saying, but it's just not worth it. I tried that wheelbarrow thing and it's just not worth it. I've been serving God for so many years and look, I'm still having the same afflictions, the same problems. Is just not worth it.
Amen.
You know what He says? It will be worth it all.
Amen.
Look in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15 and verse 58. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know,
Amen.
As much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
I told you about my dad. My dad worked at Ford Motor Company all his life. And my dad was not a saved man. Most of his life he was lost. He was without God, without Christ, without hope. And his idea of life was, you work hard, you put in your hours, and then you retire. When I told him I was going to Mexico, and we went to Mexico, I would try to call him on the phone, and you know what he'd say to me? Get a job. The only people that go to Mexico are those going on vacation. Get a job. What are you doing in Mexico? Only people that go to Mexico are the ones on vacation. Then I told him, well, I'm going to Poland. He said, you're serious about this stuff. I guess nobody goes on vacation to Poland. So. Yeah. You know what happened to him after he retired, after he worked all those years? He lost every dime he had. And that's when he got saved. He realized that this world is not worth it. You can work all your life and lose your investment in a moment of time. You can work and work and work. Get up, go to work. Come home, eat, go to bed. Get up, go to work, come home, eat, and go to bed. Get up, go to work, come home, eat, go to bed. What are you waiting for? Fourth day and payday. Fourth day and payday. Fourth day comes around, you can do that all your life. All your life. Get ready, time for retirement. You got your plans made, and it's all gone.
That's right.
Because you trusted in men.
That's right.
It's going on right here in America. It's going on all across this world. But you got a promise from God Almighty. And He said, ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Amen.
It's up for us to make sure that the things that we're laboring for, the things that we are working for, is in the Lord.
Amen.
Now, I don't want you to misunderstand like my mother misunderstood. My mother was another issue. I don't know how many years we prayed for her and she got saved. Thank God.
Praise God.
But she misunderstood Christianity. She thought that all I did was I sat as a monk with a Bible in my hand. That's all I did. Just read the Bible and pray. Read the Bible and pray. Read the Bible. That's not Christianity.
That's right. Amen.
Not all Christians go to a foreign field to preach the gospel.
Amen.
Most Christians, if not the vast majority of Christians, they get up and go to work. But they do it as unto the Lord. They work so that they might take part in the work of God.
That's right.
They work as an exercise of their faith, that they might give unto those that have need, that they might supply for their family. Now, let me ask you, my friend, you going to work tomorrow or the next day? Are you going to do it in the Lord or for yourself?
Amen.
There's the difference.
All right.
There's the difference. Now, my dad and my mother, they work all their lives for themselves. Everything we do ought to be to do it for the Lord.
Amen.
Well, one more. I think that clock is still cranking. Anybody waving their hand?
No.
Just one more. We say nobody cares. Nobody understands. We say that we're worrying, we're frustrated, and we've got too many problems. We don't have the answer. He says, cast all your cares upon me.
Amen. All right. Amen.
For I care for you.
Amen.
I don't know your burden tonight. I can imagine you have some. I've had some in my life. I don't know what burdens you're carrying. What difficulties you've come across in your life. But one thing I know that God Almighty cares for you.
Amen.
And He says, if you come to Him and cast all your cares upon Him, can you do that tonight? Because He cares for you. Let me give you one parable in closing. A young man was hiking in the mountains. I don't know if you read that story. The one time a boulder came down and landed on him, he couldn't get out, so he cut off his arm. I'm not going to tell that story. It was another man. He was walking through the mountains and he fell off the mountain and he's sliding down. It looked like certain death. And he fell off the cliff and he happened to catch onto the branch of a tree that was growing out of the side of the mountain. And he caught that tree, but now he's 10 feet from the top of the cliff and he's 300 feet from the bottom. And he's hanging on with everything he's got under this branch. And he's crying out to God. He says, "Oh God, help me! Oh God, help me!" Can you understand his anguish? And he's holding on everything he's got and he hears that crack. Because the tree is breaking. "God have mercy, send somebody to help me." And two angels appear in front of him. "God heard my prayer, thank God you're here, save me, help me." And the angels asked him, "Do you believe that we can save you?" "Oh yes, I believe, thank God, God heard my prayer, I believe." And they said, "Good. Let go of the branch. He's hanging on to dear life. Do you believe that we can save you? Let go of the branch. You got some burdens tonight. You're hanging on too tight." He said, "Cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you." Every head bowed and every eye closed.